141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we get closer to the return of domestic football after the international break. Premiership bosses praise the efforts of Willie Collum and the Scottish FA explaining VAR decisions. Reports suggest Alistair Johnson is in line for a new contract at Celtic, and Rangers confirm part of the Copeland stand will be open for the League Cup clash with Dundee. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight, your favourite Thursday duo of Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
Well, I never thought I'd say this, but what a show it was last night with us. That was fantastic. I caught some of it just after training, and Willie Colm, I thought, was very honest and, as everyone says, brave to come on here in front up. And I guess that may be a lot of the talking points tonight, that people want to chat about what's been released by the referees surrounding some of the early on-field decisions. But I would rather talk about the football that's coming up, because we've got some big fixtures coming up. Touching it on Tuesday, big weekend for Hearts going to Celtic Park. Can Celtic keep their form going? But big weekend for Rangers on Sunday when they travel to an unformed Dundee United at Tannadice.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the weekend. I echo what Mark said there. It's not all about Mark. I thought Willie Collum last night, and I've said it for years in this programme, the referees come in for a hard time. I'm delighted they come on 2 hours. The two guests sitting next to you, pundits, Big Mar, and who else?
Brian Graham.
What an easy shift they had. Could we not have got him on a Thursday night? Mark could have sat back. But he's right. Looking forward to a nice weekend of football going. A lot of good fixtures in there. A lot of important fixtures, especially for the big two Edinburgh clubs trying to get results. Kilmarnock, Derek McInnes, down bottom of the league as well. Motherwell, Aberdeen, two teams that are going brilliant. Dundee United flying high. A bit of pressure on Rangers going up there. And obviously, you look at Celtic at home against Hearts. Not forgetting, obviously, Ross County, Dundee.
0141 951 1025. That is the number that you need. So come on down and join us on a Thursday night. You're providing a service to me, really. It means the more we get to speak to you, the less we need to listen to these two and whatever they've been up to over the last couple of days. So give us a call. It is still relatively quiet on the breaking news front, if you like. It usually takes domestic football to kick back into action for things to really start turning again. But a few things bubbling away. Celtic fans, newspaper reports suggesting that Alistair Johnson could be in line for a new contract. I guess you're fully in favour of that. How highly do you rate him now? And is he the best Celtic right back since Mark Wilson? That would be the obvious question tonight. But how important, seriously, how important a part of the team is he becoming? Would you welcome that show of commitment and trying to make him, you know, a real sort of main part of what's going on? Give us your thoughts on a potential new contract for Alistair Johnson, please, Celtic fans. Rangers fans, it's another stadium update. I suppose, given where the bar's been set, this one would be good news. You've had a lot of negativity surrounding that, but part of the Copeland stand will be back for the League Cup clash. The front bit open, the rear bit remaining closed. So clearly getting closer to a proper full return to Ibrox. How much are you looking forward to that? It is Thursday. I think it's fair that you are ready to look forward to the games, specifically this weekend. So again, please feel free to do that on the same number. And last night's phone lines, so busy. Maybe you do want to talk more about Willie Collum or VAR or some of the VAR audio that we've heard in recent days or some of the things Willie picked up on last night. He's obviously not here, but I'll do my best to try and fill in any blanks or any queries that you may have coming off the back of that. So 0141 951 1025, or tweet us at ClydeSSB. I thought the most honest, because that was the one word that was just running throughout it, that honest, open, transparent, accountability, all these words that keep coming up with Willie Collum's various appearances over the last couple of days. The most honest thing he said was that bumping into you at the gym means that you don't get any work done because you corner people for an hour and just talk the ears off them. I thought that is perfect.
Yeah, a bit guilty of that, I've got to say. But, you know, the benefits are the fact now that Willie knows, after a good chat with him, come in, be open and honest. That's all people are wanting to hear. Okay, they don't hear it from me, but open and honest, especially from Willie. New job there, he's settling in brilliant. I think it was a breath of fresh air last night, just listening to some of the things he was coming out with. You know, you couldn't ask for any better. I've always said that referees come in for a real hard time. It's a difficult job, but I was delighted to come in last night, and he explained a lot. And I think he won a lot of people over. You'll not win everybody over, of course you won't, but I think he won a lot of people over going forward, and obviously try to help out with the VAR as well, which helps other people.
He's played a blinder in this past week or so. You know, stepping into the role, it's never going to be easy filling that role, and especially when you're one of the most high profile referees. It's been in our game a long time, and he's made some high profile mistakes, but he was your kind of flagship referee for so long. To take on the role, you know, was a tough gig, but I think he realised that, you know, the world demands transparency now, no matter what industry you're in, but particularly if you're head of VAR referees in Scotland, people always want answers. And he could have went about it a couple of ways. He could have just not shut up shop. We don't need to explain anything. Or he could have done what he's done this week, especially coming in here where there's actual calls to take. You know, it's not loaded questions. He's not got the answers jotted down that he can just, you know, recite. He has to react to actually fans calling in. And I just listened to one phoned in and said, "Listen, Willie, I've gave you plenty of abuse in the years at Celtic Park. However, I've got to commend you for sitting here and taking the calls." That takes a lot to do that in this role, and I think he's come off better for it, and the organisation better for it.
You said you used to run backwards on the treadmill, mm-hmm. didn't you? And did you not? You said he took that he had the wee 1.25 kilo plates, and he used to pull them out his top pocket and go like that to try and.
Do you know some? I didn't mind that. It was when he started blowing the whistle, it really got on my nerves. Yeah. You know, when I was doing my weights. But listen, I've watched these guys, and it's not a joke. I've watched these guys in gyms, and they work as hard. Remember, these guys are part time, and they put so much effort and commitment into being a referee.
They're not doing it for free, remember?
I know that, Mark, but it's a thankful. Okay.
You were saying it like they were a charity, just keeping your game afloat. They get paid for it.
I feel you put me in the back foot early here, but you've still got to be dedicated to what you're doing, and these guys were very, very dedicated. Yes, I do agree. I think they get paid too much.
And they probably get a free gym membership as well. So,
I'm starting to go off them myself.
Right, 01419511025 is the number that you need, or Twitter at ClydeSSB. Looking forward to the return of the domestic stuff, Mark. We've been saying it all week, but it feels like realistically we're close enough to talk about it. You know, it's Thursday night tomorrow. The Championship will be back with a bang, and then on we go.
Well, it started so well. You know, after the summer in Germany, I think we'd all had our fill of international football. So when the season kicks off, you know, we're all engrossing it. There's only four games played, and we have to take a break, and quite a long break at that, it seems. So everybody firmly looking forward to getting back round the grounds. We'll look forward to getting back to our show, having our guys round the grounds as well, and different opinions for different teams. Celtic are on a great run just now, as are Dundee United and Aberdeen. Can they keep things going? Aberdeen's an interesting one this weekend against Motherwell. Motherwell going along decent as well, but this is a testing period for Jimmy Thelen, because I thought the fixtures went okay for him,
fell kindly
in that opening stage. Now he's got an informed Motherwell. I'll be followed by the big two shortly after, so that'll be a testing time, and I'll keep going back to it. Rangers at Tannadice, never an easy game going to Tannadice, but Jim Goodwin's got Dundee United playing well. Rangers have to bounce back from what happened at Celtic Park. Will the international break affect him in a positive way or a negative way? Time will tell.
Let's bring in Josh, who's a Celtic fan, who's going to kick things off. How are you, Josh?
All right, Gordon, how's it going, mate?
Good. What are you thinking tonight?
Yeah, so the point that I've got regarding Celtic, your question, it's regarding sort of like the team selection this weekend and how it can sort of form into what's going to happen on Wednesday. I was on a couple of weeks ago talking about, you know, like we have to sort of try and prioritise the European football, I think anyway, as much as possible. But how important is it now that we have this strength in depth? We've got conundrums all over the pitch. Idar or Kyogo, for example. Bernardo or Engels, you've got the young left back from Barcelona or Greg Taylor. So, you know, Brendan's built this squad with the idea of having these selection headaches and good headaches as well. You know, like Mark played in an era where we were stacked with talent, and, you know, we could sort of semi-rotate through these competitions. So what does Mark think personally is going to be the case? Are we going to see like a consistency in the selection, or is it going to be like sort of like trying to give each player the opportunity to play the
Good question. Saturday Hearts at Celtic Park, Wednesday Slovan Bratislava at Celtic Park, Mark. So this is the start of it. This is the start of the juggling act for Celtic.
Yeah, it's a good question actually, because normally Hearts come to Celtic Park, you would pick your strongest side. That would resemble something like you would put out against Rangers. However, when you look at Hearts, how they've played this season, they look fragile. I think it is a good opportunity to maybe, you know, give maybe Engels a start. I think Josh is right. Maybe look at Ida, that physical presence to start the game, and keep your strongest 11, or what started the game against Rangers, for Wednesday night. Celtic fans, Brendan Rodgers, and I'm sure like the captain, Cal McGregor, and the others who've been here a long time, want to make a good fist of this Champions League this season.
Do you think there's any need for the overthinking bit of it at this stage? First, like, for a couple of reasons. It's early in the season. Mm-hmm. There's not like, you know, fatigue or burnout setting in. We're coming off an international break. And to get really pernickety about it, it's Saturday, Wednesday, mm-hmm. when it could be Saturday, Tuesday, to state the obvious. That's a day more. Do you think that really comes into it yet?
I just think managers now try to manage the full season rather than just this week.
That's a lie when they say we take it a game at a time. We've established a long time ago, it's a lie.
With the introduction of sports science and volumes of games and load on players, I think Brendan Rodgers will know exactly what his week looks like from now to Wednesday for his individuals.
I don't think there'll be many changes from the Rangers team. And I think you touch on the point, Gordon. It's been international break. We're only four games in.
I suppose it depends who arrives back and when. I mean, I noticed, do you see Rio Hitati went all that way, played no minutes at all for Japan. You know, different players off at different parts of the world. But Greg Taylor and James Forrest pulled out the Scotland squad.
Exactly. So there's a lot of them probably be desperate for a game on Saturday. Brendan Rodgers has got that squad at his disposal, as George quite rightly mentions. They've paid a lot of money. They brought in some quality players. They already had quality players there. So he's in a good position. You see his bench against Rangers. You know, it's quality. It's a lot of money sitting there waiting for an opportunity as well. And he'll get a reaction, whoever he brings in, because they're obviously desperate to claim the jerseys, because he's got competition in every single place. So I don't think, I know it's Hearts, I know Hearts aren't going particularly well, but Hearts have still got decent players, so they can't be off it. I think that maybe one or two, I don't think he'll make a lot of changes with Wednesday in mind. I think he'll look to put Hearts to bed first.
Josh, is there not a case that this early in the season you can just keep going with largely the same group, try and win games, try and build confidence, momentum, all these buzzwords that you hear, and then, you know, really try and build something consistent?
Yeah, well, it is that parameter, isn't it? So if you win the game on Saturday, you put that buffer between ourselves and Rangers. You know, Rangers playing on Sunday as well. They're going to be playing Thursday, Sunday. So that probably gives a little psychological point for Celtic as well, you know, to try and get that advantage first and then put the pressure on Rangers. But then, like, there is that thing about, you know, we haven't done well in the European competition recently. So, you know, it's about trying to balance it as much as possible. I mean, yes, that the priority is always the next game. Get that 3 points on the board. Use this like depth of squad that Brendan's built now. But then, of course, you have to try and prioritise as much as possible. But, you know, the pressure's going to be on Rangers because of that Thursday and Sunday. This is my humble opinion anyway, but just playing you know, Gordon knows this, playing Thursday, Sunday is, you know, different from playing, say, Wednesday or Tuesday, Saturday, isn't it? Just that change of routine for the players.
Great restraint from you. I thought you were guaranteed to jump in there and say, what does he know about that? I thought you were absolutely guaranteed.
You know what, I left that. I didn't know what to bring him down anyway, because he's on the back foot with the referee comments. So I just He would have known. He would have played plenty of reserve games midweek.
Oh, Wednesday and Saturday. I was continuously. I was never fatigued.
Not from playing football anyway. Josh, what about newspaper reports last night, this morning, talking about Alistair Johnson in light, you know, set for a new contract, apparently bringing him in line with some of Celtic's higher earners and so on. I guess that's something most Celtic fans, including yourself, would be fully behind.
Yeah, well, he has earned it, hasn't he, through the performance. I mean, Tony played well for Scotland, though, didn't he? The two games that I saw, I mean, yeah, he gave the penalty away against Poland, but, you know, up against Rafael Leal for Portugal there, he managed the performance really well. So, you know, we have got that strength and depth as well in that position. But, yeah, he has done really well, Johnston, hasn't he? He's played himself like into that first team sort of like up position now, hasn't he? So, you know, to like reward him with the new contract, both financially and from a point of view of, you know, let's try and get our strongest 11 down on that field, and, you know, stop these shooters from sort of coming in and poaching him. So, you know, from Bender's point of view, let's sort of get that contract on the table and signed as soon as possible, and then look to move forward with that. Really,
it's something we've seen Celtic obviously do a lot, because he's got 3 years left in his deal. This is not a move to quickly make sure he stays longer as such. It's that protection that Josh talks about, financially rewarding him to a point for performances, but ultimately protecting the investment and all that sort of stuff, and did it with Materazzi notably and various others. I feel like he's deserved that, Mark.
Oh, without doubt. It was a brilliant piece of business from Celtic's point of view when you think of the whole, you know, move around his signing. That Juranovic was there, and I thought it was crazy at the time, because I really like Juranovic, and I thought, would Johnson be an upgrade? I actually think he is. I think Juranovic may be better going forward. He was maybe a bit quicker. But I think Alistair Johnson is much more a rounded package, better defensively. And he just came in and got the club. I thought the fans took to him right away. He understood what he was representing. And he really has been a standout. And he's made that position his own. There was, you know, Anthony Ralston was there. He was battling away with him. But I think pretty quickly established himself as the number one right back. And he deserves all the rewards he's getting at the minute.
Just one, because, you know, nowadays they've got all sorts written into contracts. Do you think there's a clause there that the under-10s coach from that Toronto soccer camp back in the early 2000s gets a cut,
you know,
of the new contract?
I hope he's listening. I've got to say, I've
got to look after people.
I think I'm worth more than just a video.
Because he gave you a video message at the end of the last couple of seasons ago.
Yeah, I've still got it on my phone. Yeah,
he might as well throw a couple of quid, Jerry.
Exactly. He'll be worth a few quid now. So
not a
look
problem.
After me. Come on, AG, get yourself together.
Incidentally, to combine those two, maybe that is one to watch with interest, because he went off injured for Canada, didn't he? Feeling tightness in the hamstring. So that would, without knowing anything about it, seem maybe unlikely that he features this week with Europe in mind, but maybe makes a quick recovery. But it might be.
Well, I'm sure Celtic fans hope it was. But, you know, Josh makes a good point. Anthony Ralston, again, never lets many people down. And it's been the same with Mitch Celtic. So if he's there, fine.
Because then working slightly backwards, you maybe Celtic then get the benefit of him having had game time on international break.
Yep.
And usually you're
against top opposition.
Identifying people who've not had club game time going into internationals. But anyway, thank you to Josh. You want to keep going on talks of Alistair Johnson's new deal, general thoughts on the return of domestic football this weekend. I can see a lot of feedback about Willie Collum being on here last night and the VAR clips that have been released. So we can do that. We can do what you like, within reason, if you call us now.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here on 0141 951 1025, or Twitter at Clyde SSB. That is the number you need. Give us your thoughts ahead of the weekend's return. Are you alright over there? I feel like you're grunting and making noise.
Yeah,
what's going on?
I'm feeling a wee bit too warm, I think, but I can't take off my zipper.
You're not ironed your t-shirt. No, nothing worse.
No, my t-shirt. What?
Is that a new zipper?
Shaggy gaffer.
But what makes that grey t-shirt curling up at the collars?
Because it's not ironed.
It's not.
I must admit, I'm terrible for that. So right now, I'm the exact same. This white t-shirt under could not be revealed to the public. But it's just serving a purpose under this jumper.
So I just need to sweat the next hour and a half out.
That's good for me, sitting really close to you. Hope you've got shoe on.
Other deodorant brands are.
It was Lynx
available.
You were a fan of it.
Yeah, but I'm into.
You know, I used to collect him.
Yeah, I'm into Dove. I like Dove.
But honestly, we usually save this sort of stuff for a bit later in the show, like when we're really
there must be a deal. There's got to be a deal in Dove.
Expensive stuff, isn't it?
I like
it's not like you.
Yeah. two or three at a time.
Anyway. What, different ones?
Yeah. Do you not do that?
A cocktail of deodorant?
Yeah.
Why?
Do you know? Nobody does that.
No, you told me this before. Why?
I'll do a Right Guard, or I'll do a... something, you know.
But genuinely, I'll say it like, why? What is the thought process there?
It makes you feel fresh.
No, it honestly, it doesn't. It can't.
It makes them feel fresher.
I bet you're the only person.
Not at all.
Who does that?
Not at all.
Two different deodorants.
Maybe sometimes
one on top of the other.
And just mix them.
Yeah. So you start with one.
But what again? Then, why? I can't think of another one.
Because it gives a there's sort of a
different qualities in each.
Smells.
That is the stupidest thing.
What do you do with aftershaves?
Sometimes two. Yeah.
For what it's worth, I've at least heard of that.
Two different aftershaves.
I would never do it. I've never heard of that. There is not a chance you're mixing deodorant for no reason.
I'll bet you any money. During the show, people will tell you
a bit of roll on. Just in
top. I don't do roll on. Just
seal it on.
Ridiculous, honestly. John is on the line. Let's go back to football if we can. John, Alistair Johnson, what are you thinking?
I think it's a great deal if they get him, you know what I mean? A new contract, because I think he's been an integral part of the team since he came. And as I said to the producer I spoke to, his best right back since is Mark Wilson. Ha ha. It's entirely McGrain.
You know what? He's just destroyed me with ha ha.
I think we're maybe being unfair on Mikael Lustig as well, quite frankly.
Shadow Reed.
Swedish was international. Right. Was it
won quite a bit. Juranovic goes to the Bundesliga.
Yeah. You're well down the pecking order.
Yeah, I've got to accept it.
I remember Alan Sneddon. He was better than you as well.
Alan Sneddon.
Is he a bit of a real fan's favourite, John, Alistair Johnson?
I think it's somebody, one of the guys said earlier on, he's bought into Celtic, you know what I mean? And what I like about him, especially against Rangers and that, he's right up for a fight. He's an ice hockey player, he's a hard as nails, so he is a boy. I really think if his final ball was a bit better, it would be amazing, but that'll come maybe, you know what I mean? He's still quite young, but I just think the guy... it deserves a contract, what we have with the bigger earners, because I thought he's been brilliant since he came.
Is that
Juranovic, sorry.
No, you carry on, sorry.
Juranovic was a great player. I thought, I agree with Mark there, saying you didn't know if it was a downgrade, but to me, after a couple of 4 or 5 weeks in the game, man, we've seen him, I think he's been an upgrade, Juranovic, to be truthful with you.
Is that the bit he's adding, Mark? I think everyone always appreciated the athletic qualities that John mentions. That was never really in doubt. But you look at scoring against St Mirren, wasn't it?
Yep.
In Paisley. Has he got...
great finish.
Has he got more than one assist this season? I feel like he might. He's certainly... a couple, I think, that spring to mind. But anyway, I guess it coincides with Celtic playing more fluently, but it feels like he's really getting into those attacking areas a bit more than he was.
I think that is fair. I think you can see that. And the Celtic stats guys and analysts will probably back that up when they're feeding that back to him. And that comes from the manager. But it's okay getting into those areas. It's what you actually do when you get into them. Now, he's got very good strikers who all know the positions of the box to fill. It's up to him then to fill that. And that's what put the ball into those positions. But that's what takes you to the next level as a fullback. And maybe Celtic have recognised that. They've recognised he's a more attacking threat. And with that comes interest in fullbacks. There's no doubt about it. That's the way almost every team want to play with their fullbacks, giving you width and creating the final third. He's added that to his game. I think those early games against Rangers really allowed the Celtic fans to take to him. You remember, some of the battles, was it Ryan Kent he had pretty much in his pocket in those games, and the Celtic fans really took to him. But now he's adding the more technical aspects to his game that you need at Celtic.
He set up the goal, obviously, against Rangers. He was aided by, you know, maybe a slip and whatever, but nevertheless, it was the movement, really, the ball across Gordon Dee. Will Brendan Rodgers see him as another one of these guys that, that he can improve? You know, we
I think
kind of
round
them off
I
over
think he
the
has.
Time.
I think he started the season brilliant. I think against Rangers, he was, you know, very good indeed. His energy up and down, and you're right, he doesn't mind the dirty side. He doesn't mind getting into the tackles, and, you know, if he has to go and win the ball, he'll certainly go and be fully committed. He's got everything in his locker. He's a good player. He's getting better and better, and I think you're right. I think Brendan Rodgers is starting to bring a little bit more out of him each time you see him. I think this could be a big season for him, and I'm certainly not surprised, and I know what you're saying about 3 years, but I don't know what sort of a salary the boy's on, but he certainly deserves to be rewarded for what he's given so far.
What helps you as well is when you're playing beside a top-class centre-half. So the partnerships all over the pitch is what elevates you at the next level. And I think playing beside Carter Vickers for the majority of his time here has certainly helped him. Now, he's a good 1v1 defender, but just playing with that person that you know their movements, you know you can trust, is taking him, you know, up a notch. But I'll say it again, it's when you go into the final third, when you're at clubs like Celtic, who are always on the front foot, once you get that bit right and you start adding to your assists, that's where interest will fall.
Thank you very much to John on the line on 01419511025. If you want to get in touch, you can do. If you want to tweet us, you're more than welcome as well. Unsurprisingly, no backup for you yet.
That'll
on
come.
Mixing your deodorant. I just...
That'll come.
Truly baffled by that.
It'd be an advertiser's dream.
Try it.
You know,
just
buy three different companies.
Anything.
try it and get out. See the comments you get.
What comment? Oh, here. If you got three different deals written on, those kind of comments. Oh. What a freak.
Oh. You get yourself dressed up with three on, I'll tell you. What
comments could you get?
You're having a
with
good
three
night.
Different deodorants on you.
01419511025. Let's bring in Malcolm, who's on the line. Take it away, Malcolm.
Good evening, gents. I just want to bully call him. Dina yesterday was absolutely fantastic. We need more of that, as you say, transparency and stuff. But I was trying to go in yesterday to get a question in. Mm-hmm. I would have liked to ask bully call him. Fun. We ask the referees to say their allegiance prior to taking over a role or stopping mm-hmm. them taking up certain games. You look at some of the VAR decisions yesterday and they're shouting clear instructions about some of that decisions, which felt quite bust, to be quite honest.
What do you mean, what instructions?
Well, the one when Rangers...
Oh, the St Johnston game.
Yes, and he didn't he tackled him as a foul.
Yeah.
He's clearly telling them not to tackle him. Then it was a foul and he never gave a foul. And
Malcolm,
it
can I be honest, right? I'm genuinely really surprised at the reaction to this. I don't know, I don't mean to like patronise MD or say, oh, have you never played football? It's not as if I have at any great level, but it's really quite common for referees to tell players stuff like that. It's not tactical advice, it's more... to say you're going to commit a foul, you're behind them, don't tackle there. Much like if you're in the box, Gordon, let him go. Don't pull him, Gordon. I'm telling you, don't pull him. You guys can, you've played at a much higher level. I feel like that is, not only is it not something worth complaining about, that genuinely is meant to be encouraged, as far as I understood it.
Yeah, no, like I'm sort of time in the pitch.
I'm really surprised at the reaction to that came out yesterday, I must admit.
Just because refs are now mic'd and, you know, there's some recordings that can be played back. People are astonished by it. It's just running the mill, really. Refs are always in constant dialogue.
So what type, how would that play out? You've played there.
Hands down, in the ball, you made a perfect example. Corner kicks, hands down, I can see you. You know, you've got to hold him, hands down. And me as a defender in the box, when I'm holding a striker, it's just sound advice. I can see you've got to hold him. If this ball comes in, odds on I'm giving a penalty. But I've told you. Things like that. Pretty simple, I think.
I mean, Malcolm, it's been a while, but he is an ex-professional telling you that's just quite normal. Did that surprise you?
I think you kind of attained my point. It was the point of he did tackle. It was a foul. It wasn't a foul. The play raged on. Then we go to this ABB and the top phase of play, and state that, okay, we can't take it for there. We'll have to go there. But the heel fucked with it is, if it's a free kick to St Johnston, our goal never happens, no matter what.
But Malcolm, it gets mixed up with due respect, we've not taken it away. That was part of it. You're the one that complained about this mess. Admit it. Admit that you came on and thought that the referee's saying, don't tackle there. You thought there was a problem there, and Mark's just telling you that's not an issue.
The problem that you jumped in and said that for a start. It started with him telling me to tackle. He did the tackle, which was a clear and utter foul, a mistake.
Which Willie Collum said, yeah.
Yes, that's fine. But if that was given as a foul to St Johnston there, that goal never happens. So what they're saying is, and Willie's trying to be, transparent, and transparency got used quite a bit. No matter what, they can turn around and say, well, this attacking phase is whenever they decide for that attacking phase, so they can reset it whenever they want. So no matter what, if they say, oh, reset, that means when we come to see the footage in a month's time, that reset might be the wrong place now, not the actual moment itself. You get my point?
Well, but somebody has to pick it. That is the problem. I'll agree. Listen, this is why VAR is a nightmare for the game, because you're never going to get, you're still asking people to make these like subjective decisions. And I don't know if you've seen the one, refs and the VAR do need to just sort of decide when an attacking phase of play starts. The explanation Willie Collum gave for that one is he thought it was a foul by, was it Tom Lawrence, I think?
Yeah.
Don't tackle Tom, which apparently is not an issue now. But the explanation there was, Rangers go forward, they then come back. I think there's quite a few passes. It's about, I don't know the time. And he said it's not really about the time or the number of passes. It's just kind of that sense that, right, this is the attack starting. What you might feel an attack starting is going to be different from Mark and might be different from me and might be different from Willie Collum. But I don't know how you do that any better. Malcolm is right. It's, you know, there might be another one down the line, but I don't know why that's a big deal unless we know that there's a major issue there and this is how you fix it.
Yeah, listen, there's always going to be mistakes, there's always going to be arguments, but what I liked about Willie Collum last night, he came out and he admitted that, Gordon. He says, look, yeah, we're trying to get better, we're trying to make this better, we're trying to make it better for the supporters. Mark's quite right, and I know I played a lot longer than Mark in the sense of going back the way. It was the same back my day with referees. Referees would be talking to you non-stop on the pitch. Didn't mean to say they wanted you to do better in the opposition, but...
Because, by the way, and this shows you the sort of mental gymnastics that we do here. What if the referee's saying to the Rangers player, don't tackle, don't tackle, and then the St Johnstone player runs through and scores. Is he going to get accused of helping Ross County because he told them not to tackle him? You know, I think we can't live our lives like that. That sounds unsustainable as an argument.
Yeah, I don't mind dialogue. I think the referees should have more... You know what I mean? Try and keep the play flowing as well. Mark's quite rightly said, and it's gone back years and years and years at corner kicks. Referees would be telling you, look, I'm watching you. I'm actually watching the two of you. It's going to be a penalty kick or whatever it is. I think that's good refereeing. I think that's, you know, interacting with players, letting them know, look, don't be looking at me if I blow this whistle in the next couple of seconds and give a penalty kick against you or a free kick against you because I've already warned the two of you. And I just think that's good refereeing. And I think that going forward, I don't mind that at all. The problem is now people are mic'd up and people can hear and then they can make things out that, you know, it's probably not even there, to be honest with you.
And I think, to be fair, we don't have to agree when an attacking phase of play starts, Mark. But as Malcolm says, it is there. You can play it back in a couple of months. So as long as everybody knows, because it has to be said at the time, as long as... That's probably the more important thing. We can all argue about it after, but as long as the ref is told, the communication is clear, right, this is it. This is us starting now. Yeah. So anything that happens from here on in that might affect the goal does. That's just VAR in a nutshell. Somebody's going to have to pick an attacking phase of play. There is no right or wrong answer. There is no, okay, it has to be within 20 seconds of a goal or it has to be within 15 passes. None of that exists. It's just not written in the rules. It's just, Willie Collum explained it. Just that feeling you get, just that sense of, okay, this is an attack. And the ball maybe comes back, goes to a centre-back, gets passed along, forward again, okay, let's reset it, this is the attack starting. I don't really know how you do that any better. It's just a judgment call.
Yeah, it's a hard one. to call. I've got to be honest, I did think about it. What is the best way? Can you put a time frame on it? Because you're right, your version of attack ending is different maybe from mine's, and that's part of the plan. Teams play backwards.
It's usually a bit easier to go when, or over. If possession's overturned, that's a kind of easier
that's
way.
That's the easiest one. That's black and white, really.
But so, you know what it's like? The reason you couldn't do passes or you couldn't do time is because sometimes the keeper will quickly shell it and it's one pass and it's a split second and it's in. Other times an attack starts where it goes right back, right midfielder, and it's just
hard one.
Difficult. But anyway, thanks to Malcolm. And if you call right now, we'll try and get you on next. Vince is the latest person to have won Big and Make Me a Winner, £120,000. It's his after taking the call, and it was in his last job of the week as an engineer as well. How does that sound?
Oh, 120.
Finishing off for the weekend.
For the weekend,
he's going to go to Disney with the kids and his wife.
He'll need it then.
He's going to have the cash for a house deposit as well. You could be the winner of £125,000 when we make another call. But you need to be in the draw. Text yes to 61025. If you do that, you get 5 entries for the price of 1 text. Texts are £2 plus your standard network rate, or you can enter at clyde1.com for £2, or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only. All the rules for this Rail Network competition are online, and if you get the call after 3pm tomorrow, answer within 5 rings, say make me a winner straight away to win £125,000. It would be in your bank straight after the call as well. So text yes to 61025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to at Clyde SSB on X now. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here on 0141 951 1025, and you're more than welcome to tweet until your heart is content as well. Can't believe some people giving you a wee bit of backup now on the other front.
No way.
I'm not there. Buying this. Connor says, I sympathise with the Dazzler. I'm partial to an antiperspirant for the body and some body spray over the clothes.
Body spray?
That's not the same thing, though. You're talking.
I've had body spray on.
You're
as well.
Talking a cocktail of actual antiperspirants, aren't you?
Yeah, but I've been there.
Like a bit of right guard under the pit, and then the same armpit, a bit of shower.
Yeah.
Nah, see, that's
full
ridiculous.
Body. And then sometimes. Yeah.
Full body.
Full body, mate.
You must be a heavy sweater, man.
No, I just like to smell nice. Do you know
what do you get up to?
Oh, full body.
What, deodorant?
A full lot.
Oh, what, legs and all sorts?
Oh, come on.
The legs I'm worried about. Quite frankly,
you've got to be fresh.
You holding things up to get underneath?
You see me bending up. Get my toes.
Enough. It's dinner time. It's still dinner time.
You should have given me a shout in Germany. I would have helped you.
Oh, you did help me.
Rob,
you just didn't know.
Rob is
it.
On the line. Stop it. Please stop it. Rob, how are you? All right?
Not bad, guys. Yes.
Good, good. Not bad in here. What are you thinking tonight?
I thought Gordon was more of a kind of brute man, to be honest with you.
That's a good shout. I sort of thought the same. I was going to bring that up earlier.
I'll tell you another one I would use.
Oh, hurry up.
Old Spice.
Right, good.
Nice fresh smell.
Uh-huh. Smell like the 1980s.
Oh, beautiful.
Right, good. Rob, please take him away from this.
No, just to kind of touch back on the kind of chat that we heard from the referee during that game. I'm actually a qualified referee, and what tends to happen is you get told to kind of game manage the situation. You get told to kind of game manage the scenario. I actually thought it was really good communication from the ref on the day, and the guys who played, Andy and I, who's played, they'll tell you, you aren't a ref that's going to kind of talk to you and kind of be on your level and kind of let you know his kind of thought process as well. I think that should be taken as a positive. I don't know why people are kind of looking at and saying it's a negative and he's helping the player and all this kind of stuff. End of the day, you want to kind of hear what a referee's thinking. There's nothing worse than when a referee gives a decision you don't know what it's pulled out for him. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Again, Mark, I must admit, having been part of the show that Willie Collum did, I genuinely didn't for a second think anyone would take anything out of that, other than, oh, that's interesting that refs do that. I genuinely had no thought that people would see it being a problem. But do you know what? As the night's gone on, at first I thought, how can people not know that? But then I thought, well, do you know what? Fair enough. Maybe that's the point. Maybe this is the point. Maybe you're meant to keep putting this stuff out. maybe there is an educational aspect to it. You start to realise that, that, you know, we don't get to hear this stuff very often. You can learn a bit more. You can try and understand the process. There is a darker side, I guess, to Scottish football, in that, if we're being honest, some people don't really want to learn, don't really want to understand. They're sort of at their, the bit that they like is the sense of injustice, or the suspicion that they like it. It makes their world turn. So that's fine. But maybe it's just about getting used to it for other people. Well, I don't know.
The education part of it is crucial, because let's be honest, refereeing and that group have been closely guarded for a long time. You know, it's quite close knit. You don't really get a look in. Us as ex professionals, of course, we see a part of that. We see on the pitch how they react to their assistants on the pitch. But even until recently, didn't have much access to referees, I suppose, after games, where you got that communication. Now, I've been out of management for a good bit now, but there was the instruction passed to me. You could knock on their door, you had to maybe wait 15 minutes or something after the game before going in to speak to them. So again, that was new in me. I had to learn about that, and it's probably evolved since then. And this is just the next stage. I think it's quite good that people get a glimpse of this.
I suppose the state and the obvious bit, and we shouldn't have to always justify sort of conspiracy theories or whatever the right phrase is, but Willie Colum chose those clips to go out. Well, I mean, obviously that's the way you would have to do it. If there was anything untoward, he's not going to show the clip. Do you know what I mean? Like, no. I shouldn't have to like justify it in that way, because I'm not saying that would be a possibility. But people have now latched onto this and saying, "Oh, look at that! Look what's been exposed! I can't believe the referee's telling them not to tackle." See if that was a problem. Do you think they would put the clip out? Do you know what I mean? Like, no one made them put that clip out. So that's where I'm sort of surprised that people haven't joined that dot up. For as an example, if I got to go in and I can say, Willie, I get to pick any clip you like, and you don't get a say, and we'll just surprise people with it, then fine. But I just never thought that would be a sort of accusation.
Yes, it's just basically been up front. I agree with Rob. I think it's refreshing. I like it. It's been going on for years. Professionals will tell you that, Gordon. Everybody that's played the game will tell you that referees... And by the way, I'll tell you another thing. Funny enough, I was talking to a few ex-pros today when we were talking about it. And everybody I've spoken to that's been in the game likes it, thinks it's a positive. Because I've never heard one ex-player go, "Oh, that's a negative. You should never be able to do that. Think it was out of order." Listen, these guys know they're mic'd up. They know that they can get picked up. They're not going to put their career, you know, try to, you know, be a favour for one.
By saying don't make a tackle on the halfway line in the midst of a 6-0 win or whatever. Oh no, was that the right game? The Ross County game, St John. Anyway, I can't remember, but you get the point. There is a healthy bit though that we should still be allowed to debate. That is the point. I think Willie Colum acknowledges that. He's the one that's saying we got that wrong. We should debate, we should argue about judgment calls, but I think looking for stuff that's not there is probably a bit pointless. Do you think this is beneficial for the game, Rob, a bit more of an openness?
Definitely. And they trialled it for a while, didn't they, as well, with the VAR decisions, where you could hear the referee and the kind of the other VAR guys as to why they came to their decision. They kind of trialled that over the PA system. And I think that kind of keeps everyone happy as well, if you do that, because then you know how they've came to this conclusion. I think just now there's a lot of kind of secrecy and kind of cloak and dagger stuff that's going on behind VAR decisions. And if we just open that up, it keeps everybody happy. It lets you know how referees have came to their point. As the guy said, it educates everybody. And I want to maybe see the game. That's basically why I went and did my refereeing badges, because I wanted to see the game differently. You know what I mean? For a kind of player and coach's point of view as well.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose the explanation that Willie Colum gave for that bit was that he's open to it, but he would actually like it to go further than it has. Some of those trials, it's just the referee goes, got the mic on, and says, red card given for serious foul play, and you don't actually, don't learn anything else. That could be flashed up in the screen. Yeah, they're saying it, but what does that do? What does it really add? But if you do get that proper explanation of why, somewhere down the line, maybe.
Are we heading in the direction of the rugby referees here? And time to come, because they certainly explain their decisions on field and you just wonder if Willie's looked at that and thought, do you know what, just get it out there, let's be upfront, honest, let's let everybody know why these decisions are getting made. You will still get mistakes, you'll still get debates, of course you will, but I just wonder if they're going to head down that road.
Let's thank Rob and hope that there are no controversies when we play this tonight. Let's do it.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Always popular on a Thursday. I couldn't possibly think why. It was a win for me. Marvin Bartley last night.
Oh,
calm
sorry,
down.
I thought you were going to say Tuesday.
Did you win on Tuesday?
I'm excited there. Yeah. Sorry.
Well, let's see what we can come up with tonight. I'm feeling a visitor victory in my bones. I have to. A visitor? A listener
victory.
You should
have got Willie to do Beat the Pundit.
I know.
That would have been gold.
I know. Maybe next time. A listener victory on tonight's if we can. 01419511025. Lines close at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here on the usual number Thursday night, which means we are very close to the return of domestic football after the international break tomorrow night. In fact, surely you'll go to that, no?
What's happening?
The big game.
Tomorrow night?
Oh, up at East End.
Got to be.
Yeah.
A man with your connections in Fife.
That's away from home.
Dunfermline Wraith.
I can't go and do the half time draw. I like to get the.
Would you get it tight at East End Park?
Ah, oh, big, yeah. I used to destroy them when I played against them in the derbies. Of course you would. Everybody knows me. I used to destroy them.
Just going
to
watch it. Just stay at home and stay safe.
Stay home, stay safe, yeah.
Good advice. Public service announcement there.
I'm glad you told me it was on.
The SPFL returns this weekend, as we said, Championship, then on to the Premiership. So if you've any thoughts, early thoughts about the games coming round, please get them in. We've talked a little bit about Alistair Johnson's potential new Celtic contract. What are your Rangers fans thinking? I see that most of Ibrox will be open for the cup game against Dundee. Just the back half of the Copeland stand won't be. And as I thought, we might have some further reaction to Willie Collum being on here last night to the VAR review show that was out and him explaining some decisions and getting a chance to hear some of the audio involved. So let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Big drama. There's huge drama in the studio. I don't know if producer John's listening. Well, I mean, I hope he's listening. You two have had your, you've had your 7 o'clock cup of tea made, and I was trying to advertise for people to phone in. I was trying to be serious and I could hear you smacking your lips. Do you think your milk is off?
Oh, it's 100% off.
He's got me now. I think my milk's off. Sean, is that off?
Get that jug of milk in here and we'll do a
jug of milk.
We'll do a sniff test.
You know
on
what?
Have a look.
He put it in my head. He said, taste that, and I tasted that. I thought, no, that's fine. Nah. Then the next taste, I thought, oh.
You think it's just psychological because he's.
I don't know.
No, I know milk, right? Because I can't drink a glass of milk. But I take milk in my coffee, and Big John already told us every bottle of milk in here's off.
But he found some somewhere.
To produce that, I'll tell you honestly, you'll be no going to Inverness tomorrow. You keep drinking it.
You'll be looking for a wee chopper off Kilimanjaro once you're finished with that.
Sitting next to him,
does
the
chopper
bus?
Do home visits to Christen? That's what I need to know.
Plug him in at the side.
It's
the
a
door.
Funny taste, isn't it? I'm going to keep drinking that. Right, I'm enough.
Not anyway,
that.
If either of these two keel over during the show, you know why. Let's play Beat the Pundit with Tony, who's on. How are you, Tony?
I'm not too bad. How are you?
Good, good. First time ever on this, Tony?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. How do you usually fare when you play along at home? How's your quizzing knowledge?
Okay, sometimes.
Okay. I think that's a fair level. Okay.
Just how you handle the live.
The pressure.
Yeah.
Heads, it will be Mark Wilson. Tails, it will be Gordon DL. And it is. It's Mr. Toucans himself.
Who? You're on tonight against Tony.
Oh, I need a I won last Thursday, so Thursday's a good night for
is
me.
Is it? You're in the zone on a Thursday?
Yeah, I won. I got a 3-1 victory.
Good. Right, Tony, here's the deal. I give Gordon Ells Gordon something else to listen to so that he can't hear your answers. It's 30 seconds where you just answer as many as you can. You don't have to guess. You can pass and move on to the next one if you so wish, all right?
No, all right.
Good man, Tony. You're 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Which former Newcastle forward has signed for Hibs today? Who came before Stephen Naismith as Hearts manager? Where do Celtic women normally play their home games? Which Premiership stadium in Scotland's got the smallest capacity? Who is the last player who joined Rangers from Aberdeen? Okay, let's bring him back. You ready for us?
Yeah.
You were nodding along there right. Like an old uncle at
who sings that?
Wedding.
Phil Collins?
Aye.
Oh, Think Twice. Right, okay.
Oh, I don't think that's the name
think
of the song.
Twice.
It's definitely not called Oh, Think
Just
Twice.
Another day for you in paradise.
Right. Another day in paradise.
Oh, is it okay?
Oh, also, Think Twice.
Also known as Oh, Think
that,
Twice.
Is that not the, song? That's the name of the song, isn't it?
Another Day in Paradise, I'm sure, is the name of the song.
All right, okay.
Oh, but Think you Twice. The worst song name ever.
It can be good tonight.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
30 seconds, your time starts now. Which former Newcastle forward signed for Hibs today?
There you go.
Who came before Stephen A. Smith as Hearts manager?
Craig Levein.
Where do Celtic women normally play their home games?
Airdrie Football Club.
Which Scottish Premiership stadium has the lowest capacity?
Ross County.
Who was the last player who joined Rangers from Aberdeen?
Barron.
How many teams are in League 2?
12.
Okay. Tony, how do you think it went?
10.
Checked his league table.
It's right in front of him.
Oh God, I bet he'll not get beat.
Tony, how do you think it went?
Gordon's done me.
Oh,
hold on. Come on, what you got to say?
What?
Usually you give it away, be going, well, we'll just see. But have I done, Tony? Tony, you're done. I can see Gordon's
I'm annoyed
face.
At this because I don't think he gets this at all if we hadn't spoken about it before. Dwight Gayle.
Yeah, I knew that all day long.
What's the chances of
we
that?
We told
though?
Him that earlier in the office.
About that.
I suppose it is not. Today's news. You need to keep on top of today's news. Dwight Gayle signed for Hibs, 1-0 Gordon Dale. I mean, I guess I probably worded it wrong. I should have used the official word preceded because Craig Levein did come before Stephen Naismith, but we meant Robbie Nielsen.
Oh, for Robbie,
that's
yeah.
my fault. I worded it poorly, but
did
anyway.
Tony, get that?
No.
Oh, Tony, just hang up, mate. You're done.
Where do Celtic women normally play their home games? Yeah, Airdrie Football Club.
FC.
Full title. Yeah.
2-0 Gordon DL. It goes 3-0, I'm afraid, Tony.
Think twice. Because it's just another victory for me in paradise. Hello?
Enough.
Did you write the words yourself? That was quite good.
Conor Barron, though, Tony, you saved yourself.
Well
from
done,
the donut. We don't like the donuts. Conor Barron is the last Aberdeen player or Rangers player to join from Aberdeen. And how many? This is poor from you. I feel like I should dock you some points. How many teams are in League 2?
10. I've got the table in front of me.
Well, you should just know it, first of all. And secondly, you do have the league tables on your desk. I can see them.
Do you know what ran in my head? I thought it was a trick question because it was League 2. I'm thinking, have they added 2?
I don't know how your brain works. I don't think Tony got that far. It was a 4-1 win.
Oh, I'm delighted with that. I don't care about the last question.
We'll need to give it a go another time.
Unlucky, my friend. You just come up against somebody really hot tonight.
Who's your team, Tony?
Rangers.
I think he said Rangers. It's a terrible line Tony's got, I have to say. He's phoning from Mars. Rangers, I think he said. Big game this weekend, Tony. I know they all are, but really big after the start to the season, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's good enough for
Tony,
me.
Tony's shell
shot. Tony, the line's dodgy, right? I can sort of hear him because I've got the headphones on. But I think he answered the question. Is it a big game for Rangers? Yeah. And that would be accurate.
I like that level of punditry. Just yeah.
He did say more. We can't really hear him, but it becomes massive, doesn't it? I wonder if that's one of the. I mean, Hugh will do it in the first weekend, right? But by normal people's standards, that's too early. I feel like this is the first weekend of the new season where it's kind of legitimate use of that whole, by the way, you know, Celtic play Saturday, Rangers play Sunday. It could be, I know it is still a long season, but it feels like it's the first real use of that. If, you know, if Celtic do go and do the business as you would expect them to, in theory, it's a tough place to go. Dundee United start the game above Rangers on the table. You could be looking at a very, very uncomfortable points gap. Of course, the obvious alternative is Rangers go there and win and it's all blown out the water. But
yeah, I think if it wasn't the case of Dundee United the way they started, sitting up there in third place, I think Rangers fans would be really confident going up there to Tannadice. But Jim's got them playing well. He's signed well. He's got them well organised.
Sorry, hold on, right. This is genuinely a first. I just looked at my screen here. So Tony, who was in Beat the Pundit, for reasons unbeknown to me, which we will find out, his mum is now on the other line.
Tony, you can have the ball.
Jane, what's happening here?
Hey, I'm good, thank you.
You mean you're not with Tony, presumably? You've just heard this somewhere else. Has this surprised you?
I'm at work.
Where do you work, Jane?
Where's it at work?
Yeah.
Arnold Clark.
Hold on a minute.
Is that your boy that you tell me every time I get in there is so good at Beat the Pundit?
What do you mean every time you get in? How many times did you go into Arnold Clark?
Oh, again for my coffee. They make me a coffee in there.
That sums you up, by the way.
Brilliant. Free coffee is brilliant. I was in the day. I was talking to Jane. She gave me a brolly.
This is bizarre.
Jane gave me an umbrella.
A free brolly?
Aye, and she's giving me a water bottle tomorrow.
What is wrong with this place?
How did you get a free brolly?
Because Jane gave me a free brolly.
Last night we had Scotland's head of referees giving us, he was like a statesman giving us all the ins and outs of the game in Scotland. This has descended into chaos. Jane, is he trying to buy a car off you? He has been banging on about some new car he's getting.
Well, that's for sale.
That sound good for you.
You said you were getting it tomorrow, so that's gone a bit.
I'll be back in to see Jane. Oh no, Jane's off Friday and Saturday, didn't you, Jane?
How do you know Jane's schedule? This is getting a bit.
I had a half an hour conversation with Jane this afternoon,
Jane,
before I came to the studio.
How did you rate your boys Beat the Pundit performance? It didn't go well.
No, I didn't think so. But just Ferry is normally good at it, but he's been trying to get it against Gordondale for a while now. So
he's been trying to get it against.
And we see where that took him, eh?
The pressure.
By the way, put him out the house or put his dig money on.
It's one of the weirdest Beat the Pundit segments we've had.
It's really weird. Yeah. Tony's still on the line, Tony.
Tony's like, get off the line, mum.
Tony, this cannot be good for the street cred.
No.
You can't have your mum phoning up. He is a man of few words. I like that. Straight to the point.
Right, anyway, I think we'll cut our losses before it gets weirder. Tony, thank you for playing. Jane, don't give him any more free stuff. She's away. She's hung up. She genuinely has that.
She's mortified with her son's performance.
Thank you, Tony.
See you, Tony.
What just happened there?
Cheese and toast tonight for Tony.
I don't know why this place is so
weird. How you manage to get a mum and son involved?
What? Why do you know everything?
You know that?
I told you. I was sitting with Jane for half an hour.
A freezer door fixed?
No, her door's in the house or something. She's got people coming in tomorrow to fix the door. She says her house is freezing. So wee Tone, he's having a bad night. He's been beat 4-1 with me, and he's sitting there in the cold.
By the way, the weather's turned.
I know it has.
Oh, the heating went on last night.
Oh, aye. He'll be in bed early.
I wonder what chain we can start here, where the guy that's going to fix the doors, he hears this. He's listening
he
now.
In.
No, but then tomorrow he'll realise. Uh-huh. He'll turn up at a house in Newton Mearns that needs the doors fixed and think,
name's Jane.
Aye.
That was me. That was my job that we're talking about.
I got a nice brolly, mate. Beautiful.
How have you got that? I'm seriously concerned about that.
Did you not get a pick in the cabinet?
Huh?
The pick of the cabinet? You got a pick in the cabinet.
Oh, the free prize! I choose a coffee cup.
I get
pathetic,
both.
I have to say, 01419511025. That is the number you need. The annoying thing is, we were in the midst of a semi-serious conversation about Rangers going to Tannadice. It was a really legitimate footballing conversation, and if you'd like to try and get back to it, I would appreciate that. Go.
I think we all echo that, you know, it will be a difficult game, especially the way Dundee United started away from home. After the performance and the result against Celtic, you're always going next game a little bit of pressure, because you know what like is if you're Rangers or you're Celtic, that especially Rangers just now, a couple of defeats and then Celtic maybe probably will win it a weekend. You fancy him strongly. And then that gap is already big. But you're not just looking at Celtic, because if Aberdeen won at home against Motherwell, all of a sudden you're looking at Aberdeen in second place. Dundee United won. You're looking at Dundee United in third place. So it does become a big game. I know it's early. I know we can go back to, well, Clement's done it before he came in, when there was a gap between Rangers and Celtic, turned that round. But you don't want to be chasing. You don't want to be chasing your tail. I still think Rangers will have the edge, if I'm honest, Gordon. But I think Dundee United will make it extremely difficult.
I think what's interesting within the game is, does Jim Goodwin play the same system that he's taken on this season, which is 3-4-3? I think that's quite a brave system to play when you've come up against a Rangers side who might just be able to exploit gaps more. And then for Rangers, what starting 11 do they go for? Because it changed a bit for the game against Celtic. What will that look like?
I spoke to him yesterday with the Sky Sports hat on, and he was talking about, actually, you know, you don't often get this with some of our so-called, you know, slightly smaller Premiership clubs. I appreciate Dundee United are big, but compared to the big two, they've had a number of players away on international duty. Some are not due back until like today and stuff like that. So that maybe comes into the thinking. But also, he said, you know, they'd spent the break analysing themselves in a way that they felt the opposition would analyse them.
Okay.
To try and like identify
where the weaknesses are.
What they think the opposition will see as their weaknesses. Obviously, it's a different challenge. Gordon's right. We, for good reason, sometimes are quick to build up a crisis narrative around, if it's, you know, Rangers or Celtic and they've had some bad results, Rangers still get into the game as favourites.
Yeah.
But if you're Jim Goodwin, you'd look at the fact that it's sold out. It was rocking at home to Dundee in the opening game of the season, and they are feeling good about themselves.
Without doubt, they've got good attacking players, carry a real threat. You look at Trapanovski, Babinski have been good. So they've got players that can cause Rangers problems. No doubt about it that Rangers, of course, are favourites. They should be. You take away that Celtic game, you look at the game previous where they hit six against Ross County. Yes, there's been little stutters along the way, but they still got the job done, you know, before that game as well. So they will be favourite. But again, they've got to raise their performance levels. They can't keep conceding chances like they have done since the start of the season and relying on Butland to bail them out at times, or Dessers at the other end. It needs to be a collective effort. And I think that's where Rangers have fell down a bit this season, or fell short, that they rely on Butland at one end and they've relied on Dessers at the other, and not much more coming from anybody else.
Potential debut for Barami, you would imagine, although he's been away with Albania, so he's got the game time in, and he's, in theory, should be good to go.
That's an interesting one. Who's going to start with? Will he make the changes?
It's not quite an easy one. Sorry to argue he's big money signing in an area that Rangers don't have a real solution so far this season.
Yeah, but I'm even looking at a bigger decision. That I think I wouldn't be surprised if he leaves the captain out.
Ooh, it's a big call. Seriously,
there's nobody a bigger Tavernier fan than me. I think he's been absolutely brilliant for Rangers, and I'd stick up to him for him. I know that he gets a bit of criticism.
You think he won't play this weekend?
I think he's lost his edge, Gordon. I really do.
That's different from thinking he will not play.
Depending on who's got available in the middle of the park, I think he could maybe put Sterling at right back.
Wow,
that is a huge call.
He's on the brave pills tonight. I don't know where he's pulled that from.
If he's right, then I think a lot of Rangers fans would have that. And I think it would show intent from Philippe Clement to how he wants to go forward. But I just don't think you're right. I think Tavernier will play.
See, the thing is, right, okay, that's fine. I'm quite happy to be proven wrong here. But his numbers, even this season, aren't good. You know, Tavernier, when he was at his top, free kicks, assists, everything about him, you know, getting down the right-hand side, putting great balls in for strikers, everything, he was brilliant at it. He's not achieved it. He looks flat to me. He looks like a guy that maybe needs taking out a wee bit. And I think there's already a replacement there in Sterling that could get it right back and be solid, but it depends on his options in the middle of the park.
Well, 1-4-1-9-5-1-1-0-2-5. I feel like I need a breather after the absolute shambles that was Beat the Pundit and big brawly door gate that followed. We'll take more of your calls next though.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dale are here. 0141 951 1025 is the number you need. You can tweet at Clyde SSB as well. We are looking ahead to the weekend's action, sort of. We're reflecting on, I think, a couple of days of real eye-opening stuff from the Scottish FA's disciplinary people. Willie Collum published some VAR clips and decisions, and I think probably for the first time, or certainly the first time recently, sort of held his hands up and said that this was wrong and that was wrong and explained the process and so on. Then he came on this show last night and lots of you seem to be calling up on the back of it. That's fine. We can also look ahead to the weekend, or if there's anything else, if there's anything else at all. Maybe you're any Partick Thistle under-18s fans going to Dingwall for the big game tomorrow.
You'll be lucky if I'm there. Oh, it's a trip that we don't like.
So is this the rearranged one from the bus incident? You had to turn round and rearranged. Come back.
Yeah, I mean, the players love it. They get a day off school, a second day off school. But no, we try and educate them on the bus.
What do you play? What do you mean? I spy. Some begin with
tea. Do you do like video analysis on the bus?
No, we get them a quiz.
Seriously?
No. Seriously. We all sit up the back listening to their own music.
I think that's a good idea. I'll make you a quiz.
A quiz? That'd be great, wouldn't it?
Dig into some of the full-time
very,
teasers.
Very, very good.
It's an absolute lie. I won't do it, but I'll give you what. In fact, here's this. I don't know if this is the era for your under-18s, but Daryl in Telford has sent this question, and thank you to Daryl for sending it. Email fulltime@clyde1.com. Can you name the top nine most capped Scotland men's players, I don't know why nine, random number, that did not play for either of the Old Firm? Can you name the top nine most capped Scotland men's players that did not play for either of the Old Firm?
Jim Leighton.
Yes, top of the list. Imagine you did this in order. Wow.
No, not being impressed. Oh, there must be McLeish's in that and in there.
McLeish's in that.
Aye, well, Millie Miller's or McLeish.
Alex McLeish, yes.
Right, okay, here's one for you.
Okay.
I'm going down to Tayside. Malpass.
Yeah.
55 caps, didn't he? Got.
How'd you know that?
Yeah, he was my mentor. He didn't. Mo brought me up, coached me. Well, he didn't bring me up. My mum and dad brought me up. I went a bit far.
Sorry, Mr. and Mrs. Wilson. Yes, we'll leave
he's
it there.
He's on fire.
That's enough.
You
just
hate
now.
International football as well.
No more guesses currently. Darren Fletcher. Met him in Germany, didn't
oh,
I?
Don't even
guy.
Tell that story.
What a guy.
Andy yeah. Robertson must be there.
I told you I'm not taking any more answers just now.
But is he?
We met him. It was the greatest night of Mark's life.
Oh, mate. He can't remember.
One of my foot soldiers.
I just
grabbing the mic off Travis.
I was surprised. I have to admit. It's not that I doubted you as such. But it was the... So I've told it before, but a quick recap. Years ago, Mark kept telling us that he played for Scotland Schoolboys and he was captain over Darren Fletcher, who was just another scuddy in the team.
Yep.
But that, I guess that can happen. You know, mistakes can be made, right? But it was more Darren Fletcher's willingness. It was like when I started asking him about it and I'd never met him before, it was like he knew where I was going. So either he'd heard the story, I didn't think we came across Darren Fletcher's radar, quite frankly, or he just intuitively knew where it was going and he was giving you big, he was calling you El Capitan. I don't know how much he'd been drinking, right?
Address each other. I call him Dar and he calls me.
And then he added,
I know what I was calling you.
He added bits that you've never even mentioned, that you played in midfield and he played at right back.
That's it. Water under the bridge. Just another superstar that I rub shoulders with. And now I'm sitting here with you.
Can Darren Fletcher get free brawlies out of Arnold Clark?
Yeah, exactly. Coffees.
He'd probably buy the full company.
Yeah. Fletch.
Tommy is in Hamilton. How's it going, Tommy?
Hi guys, thanks for taking my call.
Our pleasure, what are you thinking?
Thank you, I was watching the programme last night with all the calling that on it and he was referring to how the referees get paid like maybe like they're part-time, only get £900 a game sort of thing. £900 is a lot of money to a lot of people. And I don't know if there would be a way for Wally to get in contact with referees throughout Britain and try and fast-track them into this sort of job. Because I think we don't have enough referees in Scotland. And maybe we need to employ them for different areas.
This is the subject of full-time refs and Willie Collum. I don't think this was anything that people didn't know, but again, it was nice to hear from someone who's, you know, lived it. A lot of people, there's just a reality. A lot of these guys have good jobs and they get paid to ref as well. And
I didn't hear that. Was he in favour of full-time refs?
In theory, yeah, of course. Right. He said, you know, we'd love to be able to offer that, but the financial reality is that it's just, it's difficult, you know, like. And he also, he offered kind of alternative strands to this as well. He said there were times when he actually felt having another job was good and it was like an escape, and you know, you could balance the two. There were times when it wasn't so good, but ultimately, yeah, there's just that financial reality of that would cost a lot of money basically. And you know, you're asking guys to, and then that's before you get on to, you know, ask Marvin and Brian about this as semi-recent. Brian still plays. People say full-time refs better standards, and it's hard to argue with that. How could it not? I said it last night. If you do anything full-time versus part-time, you're going to be better at it. But to just to put a wee bit of doubt in my head over how convinced I am about it is, I watch a lot of football with full-time refs, and I just don't feel like I notice enough. Could just be me. Maybe it's just a personal thing. The example I gave was England, because it's on our doorstep and we watch it a lot. I've never once found myself, like, genuinely never, watching an English Premier League game and going, oh yeah, yeah, you can tell these refs are full time. I've never seen it.
Yeah,
but it might just be a personal thing. I don't know.
I'm the same as you. I just wonder how it could differ.
But the logic makes sense though.
Well,
like I say, anything full time.
It does. So does it make your decision making better? Because you'd have to think the referees up here know the laws. I listened to Willie last night, and I think, was it Marvin or Brian? I asked him, Marvin, how do you keep up with the current trends of the game and the laws of the game and keep refreshing that and keep that clear in refs' minds? And he says, we constantly meet up and go through these things on the pitch at live training sessions. Does doing that every single day replicate scenarios that happen in match day? I don't know if it does. That I'm being honest,
I just think
I don't.
It just must, you know, whatever, and whether it's preparation, it will call him, you know, he spoke about that. Sorry if you just said this, I was a touch distracted. I have to hold my hands up there and admit I was dealing with something else. about getting players, getting refs away, you know, they can go week training camps. Did you see that?
No.
They can get week training, English refs can go week training camps versus our refs will get a few hours together. And naturally, the more time you can put into something, the better you should be at it. So I think that's.
But how much
fair.
Does it cost to make a, the point finances, mm-hmm. to make a referee full time? You know, a full time job as a referee, such a specialised position. And Tommy's right, we've not got a lot of them, and especially the top graded ones in this country. But how much does that take to take someone away from their employment?
It depends what they do. Again, I feel a bit uncomfortable talking actual money.
It's what it comes down to.
I mean figures, you know, but yeah. You know, say somebody is getting that, what is a good part-time wage? Very, very good.
But that's the problem with the referees, isn't it? How's every referee got a very good job? There's no painter and decorators, are there?
It's a good point.
That's
a good point.
Right?
There's
what is it with these referees?
Again,
like
Willie
Collins
said that.
I don't like
he said that last night. Thank you for listening, by the way.
I missed part of
he wants refereeing to be for all. He just said that. He doesn't want it to be that it's only certain professions that can be a referee. He just doesn't want that. He wants it to be open.
So can you have a mixture then?
I mean, you're allowed. It's not that it's like banned. They don't have anything. They don't have anything against the painting and decorating industry.
No, I'm not saying that. I need a painting and decorator for anything.
Oh, shock!
But and then I'll turn you into a referee. I'll turn you into a referee. But you've got to. You can
imagine getting them mixed up though. You've got your paintbrush instead of your yellow card.
Run about
chaos.
I'll just put the shorts on that.
So Tommy, you think that would be is that a real priority? You think if find a way to move towards full time?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people out there would maybe take up the career if they knew there was maybe, say, £900 a week or £1,000 a week wage at the end of it. Yeah, and they'd be willing to do that. But at the moment, it doesn't seem open to everyone. So maybe an advertising campaign or whatever.
But here's the thing, Tommy. I know this for a fact, and Willie would back this up. You don't just apply to the advert and then next minute you're refereeing Celtic v Hearts on Saturday. Mm-hmm. I know some guys that actually one of them's an ex-teammate of mine's, Jamie McCunney.
That's right.
Was right back at Dundee United, mm-hmm. and a brilliant Youth Scotland career. He's a referee.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But I spoke to him one time not so long ago, and the levels that he has to come through to get anywhere near the professional game, mm-hmm. it's a long old slog.
This is not a reason to not do it, clearly, right? And if the money was there, you'd do it. I just think when it comes to any of these things, you know, we're having widespread discussions about refs. I think part of the problem is we all think you would sort of click your fingers and do something, whether people thought it was VAR or people thought it was full-time refs. I still think there's people out there, I don't know how many, who think that if we had full-time refs, there would be no mistakes anymore. And I've just got this notion that the Scottish FA somehow clubs together all this money, chucks it at it, and I can just hear the phone call on here. I can't believe we've got full-time refs and they're making more mistakes than before. Yeah. But again, that's probably not a reason to not do it, because you should always want to drive higher standards and strive for better. So I do appreciate that. You just wonder if it's ever possible.
Maybe in time to come.
I think it's got to be. If we are pushing our game in Scotland to try and mm-hmm. keep pace, not catch up with the top leagues, but keep pace. If we've got teams in the Champions League and we're trying to invest in every other aspect of your game in Scotland, referees are pretty important.
But the argument against it, and you touched on it, if you look down south, are you looking at referees every weekend and match of the day thinking, these guys are brilliant because they're full-time? They're still making mistakes, they're still getting criticised.
It could just be the level of scrutiny. I feel like they actually maybe make more or make more of those kind of serious ones that are properly against protocol or whatever, but it might just be the scrutiny and there's more games and so on. It's just
I think the bigger point maybe Tommy's making this, I don't know, but in recruiting from grassroots level, I think the uptake would be bigger than that. I think some kids don't see it as a career. They just don't. Mm-hmm. They see it as maybe just a part-time thing, or they enjoy a bit of refereeing and never a means to an end, never a means to a career. I think if you then had a top level with an attractive wage to it, I think you would get people coming in at the grassroots level prepared mm-hmm. to go through that apprenticeship to get to the top.
But then that's the problem, isn't it? If you're looking at the scenario right now, as we said, if you're a teacher or a lawyer or a policeman or whatever, you have that salary plus your, and I don't know the exact figure, I think I remember it being around that £800 mm-hmm. a game mark or whatever, you used to see that reported, tagged on to that. What type of salary is going to have to be offered to make that worthwhile for people?
You're still walking the beat, mate. Hmm? You're still walking the beat.
You think so?
All day long.
I think it should be an attractive salary. You're thinking what our players earn. And I'm not talking Celtic and Rangers. I'm talking mid-table down. What would they be earning? £50,000 a year, maybe?
Touch more, I would say.
But something around that. Could you offer more referees at £60,000 a year? To be professional.
Do the English refs get the same as their players?
No.
Yeah. Imagine that. Wow.
Of course not.
Anyway, it's a fair point, Tommy. It's not one we've heard the end of, I don't suspect. And Willie Collum said he would love to and would be open to it and trying to offer an incentive. We will see. I know he's impressed everybody this week, but I don't know if he's that persuasive where he can ring up the money men at the Scottish FA and just say, give us some cash.
We'll be prepared to come in. If they want to throw that our way and just put us right to the top grade, we'll do it, Willie, if you're looking for a
referee who doesn't run. How's the running going, actually? You promised us on Tuesday you were going to start running.
I'm really burning it up.
Yeah,
I'm getting a lot of good feedback in the gym. I was telling Mark I started with a wee 3k.
Lightning
level 2.
Said I just walked along the corridor and he's behind me.
What do you mean level 2? Speed 2?
No, level incline.
That's what burst his story. And he said it believable. By the way, Mark, I'd done a 3K. And I went, did you? He said, aye. I got a time of 14 minutes. And I said, oh, it's not about your time. That's good. You're doing it. Incline 2. And I thought, wow, liar. How did I fall for that?
As if he's running a 14-minute 3K.
I was
you not think I'm capable of that?
No. Like, to be blunt about it.
Seriously?
How much money... Please bet responsibly. Do you want to put this for Cash for Kids? You're 62. Yeah. You've got one hip. You've not ran since 1999. Yeah. And you think you could do a 14-minute 3K?
I've got a new pair of gutties.
Not a
and
chance.
Light.
A new pair of
it would need to be rollerblades.
Skates.
It's ridiculous. No chance.
I'll tell you what. I'll do it over the next couple of days.
So under five minutes per kilometre.
3 kilometres, what's that miles? 1.6 a mile.
Answer my question. So that's yes. under 5 minutes per kilometre at 62, one hip. Not ran since the 90s.
Yeah, level
not,
two.
Not in a million
level
years.
Two,
no chance. Name the top nine most capped Scotland men's players that did not play for the Old Firm. You've got Leighton, Darren Fletcher, Alex McLeish, Morris Malpass,
Robertson.
Andy Robertson. One more guess, please.
The most nine players, right? I never played.
Great. Thanks for clearing that up. The most nine players.
Imagine he did get that hosting gig when you were running late. If that's the way he's wording things.
I was going to say Alan Ruff, but he was at Celtic, wasn't he?
I'll tell you what, we'll get the rest of the answers next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We're on to the final part already. Another quick show with Mark Wilson and Gordon DL. Still time for you to squeeze some calls in. If you're that way inclined, send us a tweet, or feel free to just listen patiently in the background between now and the end of the show. Good teaser on the go from Daryl, who's been on Twitter to point out he's actually back home in Cumbernauld, not in Telford anymore. But there we go. Can you name the top nine most capped Scotland men's players that did not play for either of the Old Firm? You're doing pretty well. It's quite a well-known list, obviously. As you would expect, it is Jim Leighton, Darren Fletcher, Alex McLeish, Andy Robertson, Morris Malpass.
Is John McGinn there?
He has 70 caps now, John McGinn's on.
Striking on it?
No.
Here's one for you.
Do you want me to give you a hand?
No.
Okay, fine.
I'm going to go McFadden. Oh, that's my first.
I a hand.
48 caps for James McFadden.
That's right, he didn't get his 50th.
Not enough to be on this list. 55 needed to get on the... I'm just going to give you some wrong answers, much like we would do on a Saturday. So Matthew threw in Neil Sullivan and Grant Hanley, but nope.
No, that's not getting us a hand. That's
no, but it's just
obvious.
Is it?
Right, never okay. Going to guess him.
I'll be honest. You mentioned one, but you didn't give me it as an answer. So,
oh, Willie Miller.
Aye, you didn't actually guess it. Only two to get.
No, I did actually.
Nope. Nope. I'm sorry.
Two to get.
Yeah, plenty of time. So we'll get it before the end of the show. 01419511025 if you want to join in. Like I say, still time, whether it is to look ahead to the weekend, talk about some of the refereeing discussions that have been going on, or anything else, something else you think we've missed, you can get in touch and let us know what is on your mind this evening. You two are just preoccupied with this teaser, aren't you?
Yeah, we're loving it.
That's quite a good question.
Let's go, like, go game that answer.
Doable, but tough.
Don't think it is. Kevin Gallagher.
No. Don't waste my time.
No, don't do that.
Yeah, he's played across several eras, didn't he? And managers.
No. Local.
Have him in here one time,
yeah,
Kevin
from
Gallagher.
Clydebank, isn't he?
Is he?
Yeah, I think so. It was during Euros,
the first Euros
that we got.
Oh,
I've
done the show.
Big Dundee United man, isn't he? Yeah. Well, what a hero he is. Nose parts.
Look at him trying to cling on to the Dundee United stuff because they've started the season well.
Exactly. Love United. Now, hold on. I did say that United looked good and would do all right this season.
The sycophantic stuff's going to be through the roof because he played with Dundee United
twice
and Jim Goodwin's his pal.
Twice.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so he's just ramping everything up.
Can't believe he didn't give me a joke.
Because it was Jumbo.
His Terry the mascot and the big lines at half time.
I spent some time with him yesterday. He was asking after you.
Of course. Aye, good pals, Jim and I.
Nice head of hair. I like Jim.
He says he's noticed that you've He was asking about Kilimanjaro and says he's noticed that you drink less at the moment.
That was his, that's a good observation.
That was his main...
Jim and I had some good times. Mm-hmm. So we did back in our Cumbernauld days. But we decided to knock it in the head and his career went one way and mine's...
down the way.
Stagnated.
There we go. Right, let's bring in Martin, who's in the West End. How are you doing, Martin?
How are we doing, Gordon?
Good here. What, you're an Aberdeen fan, I believe. Is that right?
Yes, I am. Come on, it's cheap.
Well, listen, I'm glad you said it. You must be happy. Start to the season, new manager. Everything going well?
We're all delighted in Aberdeen. So I think Jimmy Tilleen is building something good. It's a slow transition, but we're getting there. So things are looking up. 9 out of 9 so far. I know we've not played the what most panellists say, the big three, Hearts, Rangers and Celtic. We don't play them to the middle of October. But we can only beat what's in front of us. I think we're going to get 3 points. And sorry, Gordon and Gordon. We're going to scalp Motherwell and Saturday and go... joint top with Celtic again, and then we'll just
I actually wonder about that, Martin, because you're right, people keep mentioning this, the fixtures have been semi-gentle, they've not had to play either of the Old Firm, which always helps, but it is still, is it 9 in all competitions, is it 8 or 9 consecutive wins, even at a time when Rangers and Celtic aren't in that run. I don't think Aberdeen won 9 out of 9. I've not done the research to back that up, but I just think for most of our teams in the Premiership, 4 wins out of 4 in a row is, I think that's still quite rare.
Of course, it is good. Maybe I was being unkind to them because you still have to go up to Dingwall and grab a last minute winner up there, which takes character. And you look at some of the other performances that they've put in. Mixed with the Cup, of course, it's impressive when you get on that run. But you have to be realistic as well. And Jimmy Thelen will think this as well. This is a big month for them. This will test them to see how far they've come when the big three come calling. And I say big three because Hearts are in a bad place at the minute.
Yeah.
And you'd think Aberdeen were favourites in that fixture. But if they're looking, which Aberdeen fans are, and Martin can back me up, they're always on about challenging Celtic and Rangers and potentially splitting... Or making up the gap, they have to beat one or two of them or get a half decent result.
There are a lot of big statements being thrown around already, Martin, because Rangers are struggling a bit. Do you feel there's a genuine chance you could split them?
See, to be fair to the Aberdeen, we have went to Ibrox and beat Rangers with a weaker team than Jimmy Tilleen's team right now. Jimmy Tilleen has bought... like guys like Malloy, McGrath, Morris, gave guys like Gaye and all these guys, Gunawan, Dukes now come out and says he wants to be a part of the
talk,
team.
Talk to me about that. Do you welcome him back, Martin? Do you welcome him back with open arms?
He went on like Aberdeen TV and he's went on and gave the fans the support. Well, the fans, the players, the board and Jimmy Tilleen 110% commitment. And he said he was sorry for the debacle and the embarrassment and the calamity that he'd done with him.
Are all fans on board with that, Martin?
We're all on board with it. We're all, because he's, listen, Gordon, he scored 38 goals between him and big Bojan Miowski, no, 2 seasons ago, before his debacle, before this stupid carry on. But we've got Kevin Nisbet and Keskin in the midfield. That guy ran the show against Foss County.
I don't think to be fair, just quickly, Martin, because we're almost out of time, I don't think there's any doubt if Duke's on form, he's a good player. It just, there will be people who say, hold on, this guy just went AWOL, pushed for a move, obviously couldn't get one, and so now he's come back. Martin sounds like a very nice man, an understanding fella. I don't know if everybody will be exactly like that, will they?
No, but if he gets on the pitch and starts performing and scores, then all will be forgiven. There's a good feeling about Aberdeen just now. You've seen even the crowd, the away support they took to Dingwall. Everybody's getting behind them. I still think it's a massive... I don't think they'll split Rangers, Celtic Rangers, sorry. I think over a piece of a season, Rangers will be too strong. But yep. I like the fact that Nisbet's the centre forward now.
Thank you, Martin. Can you name the nine most capped Scotland men's players that did not play for the Old Firm? Jim Leighton, Darren Fletcher, Alex McLeish, Andy Robertson, John McGinn, Willie Miller, Morris Malpass,
Gary McAllister.
Yes.
I told you Gary McAllister.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
Last one. This came up the other night, I think, because he's got a surprisingly low number of caps considering the number of goals he scored.
Scored a lot of goals for Scotland.
Well, yes.
Dennis Law.
Dennis Law.
Oh, I was going to say the first one.
There we go. Thank you, Mark and Gordon. One of those nights we spoke a bit about refs and Alistair Johnson and the games and
deodorant.
Then deodorant and three umbrellas and we had somebody's mum phone in on Beat the Pundit and I don't know. It's just one of those things.
Best.
Bit more sensible tomorrow. Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen here from six, looking ahead to the weekend's action. We'll hear from Brendan Rodgers, Philippe Clement, and the rest. So make sure you join us and enjoy the rest of your night.